I do know people watch, you know, this morning, they watch throughout the week, but I am going to email it to the church probably tomorrow when the YouTube comes up. We had all sorts of trouble with YouTube this morning. I was running back and forth, and so if that affected you, I apologize. It should be up and running. I want to make sure it's running this morning. We're having some issues this morning. If not, I've got it recorded on there, so I can send it to everyone. But I want to talk on, and I've been doing spiritual, I just started speaking on spiritual disciplines, and I started last week. I'm going to do this morning on Sabbath, and there's a reason I'm doing that one this morning, and I want to share a little bit about it, and then share a little bit of things from a transparent heart. Paul did that. Paul, when he spoke to the Corinthians, he said, "I've opened up my heart to you," and that's something as believers, it's good to not be closed off from others, but to be transparent. I do try to model that as best I can. I do that intentionally because it's not always easy doing that. But on spiritual disciplines, I'm going to do Sabbath, and I'm probably going to try to talk about solitude and silence if I can. If I can't, I'll just recommend a book to you that Kevin recommended to me that's really good on it. We'll see if I get to that point or not. But just as a quick reminder, a quick refresher, in 1 Timothy 4:7, don't turn, just listen. He writes, he says, "But have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths, but rather train yourself in godliness." And the New American Standard Bible reads it this way, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." And someone asked me the other day, he said, what is a spiritual discipline? And the best definition I could give you, it's a habit of devotion practiced by believers since biblical times. They're biblical disciplines and habits of devotion. And I gave you some points last week from Don Whitney. I'm just going to briefly review those spiritual disciplines. Last week I spoke on fasting, praying, and giving that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 6. Those are all spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines can be personal and corporate. In other words, private prayer is good and corporate prayer is good. You know, I know people who just, "I'm fine just me and God." Well, yeah, half the way you are. Biblically, you're not. You need corporate and you need personal. And so it's also activities and choices. They're not gifts or graces. So in other words, I don't have the gift of fasting, for example. But it's a spiritual discipline that you do, and it's biblical. Okay. Also, these are things that are taught in the Bible. And I spoke out, sometimes we can have a pantheistic mindset, especially in our nation, which basically says everything is God, and basically I can meet God anywhere, anytime, any place. So a spiritual discipline for me can be watering the plants. Well, that might be something you enjoy doing, but it's not a biblical spiritual discipline, you know. And I'll share the story about the lady who said, "I'm not going to go gather with other believers. I'm just going to go minister to people in a nursing home." That's ministry, but it's not a spiritual discipline. It's two different things. Again, these are things that are taught in the Bible. And also, finally, they're a means to an end, not an end. In other words, if my only purpose in praying is just to put my time in with God and feel good about myself and give myself a check mark, then that's all I'm going to get. If the purpose of my prayer life is to meet Jesus, as we sang about this morning, then that's what I'm going to get. So prayer is not a tool to make me feel good. Prayer is a tool to connect me to Jesus. Giving is not a tool to feel good. Giving is, as we read in Corinthians last week, it's also a means to worship God. Okay, it's a means to glorify Him. And to, one way we can glorify God, one way we can love God is by loving His people as well. And that's throughout Scripture. So we did fasting, praying, and giving. There's some others we'll hit later. Bible reading, meditation, memorization, community, confession, and submission, worship, celebration, remembrance, and service. And today I'm primarily going to just talk about Sabbath. And I'm going to talk about it not from a perspective of experience, and that's part of what I want to share with you, but from just biblically. I like to, you know, truth, I always say truth is never ours until we can walk in it. I can know something all day, but until I'm able to live it, it's just head knowledge. And the whole purpose of this is that it would be something that we walk out. All Jesus began both to do and to teach. So we can teach it, but He also does it. And so I love when truth becomes a reality. And sometimes there's things in the Bible that are staring me square in the face. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh Lord, I've never seen this before. And now I realize your wisdom, Lord, your goodness and your grace. And so I want to talk a little bit about Sabbath this morning. And I'm going to give you some verses. We're going to read the scriptures. Turn there if you want. I'm going to go through them pretty quickly. I'm just going to give you these passages. The first one is Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And it says this, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Always read that when you're, oh God, were you tired? Or were you modeling something for your creation? I don't think God was tired. I think he was modeling something for his creation. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. In Exodus chapter 20, and this is the Ten Commandments chapter, Exodus chapter 20, that's going to be verse 8 through 11, says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it. Jesus also confirmed this principle in Matthew chapter, or Mark chapter 2, which I'm going to get to in just a minute. In Exodus chapter 16, taking notes, is Exodus 16, verse 23 through 29, says this. This was a time of rest for the people of God. He says, then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until the morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. Okay? It was also, and this is my final one, in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Exodus 31, 13. This was also a sign of covenant, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, between God and his people. It says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now, there's a denomination, and I've never seen it till I came to New England, and it's Seventh-day Baptist. And that, from what I know, they're Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know enough about them, so don't ask me. I do know a little bit, and I'm not going to stir that up. But I know Seventh-day Baptists are just solid evangelical believers, basically Baptist believers, but they believe in meeting on Saturday. That's fine and well. I'm going to give you two verses in a minute. I'm not really sure that's the issue, and it's not the issue I'm going to talk about. Sometimes we get hung up with details and with things, and we miss the substance, which is Christ. Sabbath actually means this. It means to stop and to cease. It means to stop and to cease. There's a phrase used throughout the scriptures. It's called Selah. You read it if you read the Psalms. It's funny, the NIV apparently took that out, and that's more of an academic translation, which may be, you know, kind of the spirit of the world we're in. I'm not saying that the translation's like that. I like the translation, but Selah means to pause. In other words, when you read something, when you read a psalm, I like the New King James. I'm not a King James only guy. I just like the New King James. I like other translations too, but I know when I read New King James, and I read in Psalms, like Psalm 46, you can read it, just Selah. It means to pause. Pause for the cause. Pause. Let it marinate. Sit. Stop. Take it in and reflect. It's a similar meaning. It's a similar phrase. It means Sabbath means to stop and to cease. And some people argue over, should you meet on this day? Should you meet on that day? We meet here on Sunday morning. Meet here Sunday nights. Meet here Tuesday nights. We'll be meeting here other days here in the next few months. At the end of the day, where two or three are gathered, I don't really care what day it is. Let me read two verses to you real quick. In Romans 14, 5 through 6, it says this. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, he who gives to God, gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat, and he gives God thanks. We could solve so many feuds if we would just read that. And finally, Colossians chapter 2. Thank you for bearing with me real quick. I'm just going through some things. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, it says this. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The substance, amen. I got amen. Thank you, Bob. The substance is of Christ. Regarding Sabbaths, if you meet on Saturday, I don't really care. Maybe that's a big deal to you. I just don't care. The substance is Christ. And Jesus addressed this, and I do want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 2, verse 23. But Jesus spoke to those who basically tried to take the Sabbath and make it centered around rules and regulations and things that tie men into heavy burdens that they were never meant to carry. Okay? And Jesus addressed that. And I'm not saying if people meet on a different day, I'm just saying that's not the heart of what I'm talking about at all this morning. So in Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28, says this. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Let me just stop right there. The Pharisees had 39 different categories of laws surrounding the Sabbath. In other words, something that God set as a pattern and design for mankind, for his creation, to walk in fullness, wholeness, and health as a means to cease to worship him, religion took and put heavy burdens on people they're never meant to carry. And they complicated the whole thing. And Jesus said, you know what? Religion does that. Jesus doesn't. The substance is Christ. But he said to them, in verse 25, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? And that's found, just as an FYI, 1 Samuel chapter 21, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave the same some to those who were with him. Setting up a precedent that human need takes precedent over regulations. And that's just, let me stop and say this real quick, just as a kingdom principle. If you're someone who owns a business, or you have people who work for you, or any way, shape, or form, people take priority over the organization. They always should. Oftentimes, especially in our society today, organizations take preference over people. People are disposable. I don't believe that's a kingdom mindset. And I believe a true business, any organization that's really Christ-centered and kingdom-minded always places the needs of the people over always productivity or performance or things along those lines. And I said that. So the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's a good one. That's a Selah. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift from God. The Sabbath was made for us. We were not made to complicate it and put heavy burdens on each other. That's a gift God gave us. What did he do? He observed the beauty of his creation on Sabbath. He looked and saw what God did. Jesus went to the synagogues on the Sabbath. It's a time to worship God, to see the goodness and the good things that he's done. I've read this in the scriptures many times, but when you stop and pause on it, Jesus healed so many times on the Sabbath. He did this. He healed the cripple. He healed the blind man. He straightened out the woman who was bound for 18 years. All this on the Sabbath. He actually opened up the book and declared himself as the anointed on the Sabbath. I like this. He became angry at the Pharisees on the Sabbath, who were again distorting Christ. And he healed the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is, I think there's a great picture in that. You're not supposed to do that. Jesus is showing on the Sabbath it's a gift to man. And on the Sabbath he heals us. It's a time we can be healed. It's a time we can pause. We can rest. It's a time when we can trust him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, it says this. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. This is Deuteronomy 5:15. Remember, you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. Just stop there. If you ever, why is that in the Ten Commandments? Why does he equate Sabbath with slavery? It's a good question. It was something that in that culture, in that time, was not the norm. The norm was to work you to the bone. And Jesus said, I'm good. I'm gracious. And I believe that as far as slavery and Sabbath goes, I read this, someone made this statement that whatever I can't rest from, I'm a slave to. I like that. Whatever I can't rest from, I'm a slave to. And that can be a good thing. It can be my job. It can be people are slaves, if you want to talk just workplace things, people are slave to money, they're slave to titles, they're slave to other people's opinions of them. Some people just like to be busy, and I am more type A in my makeup, and I like to be busy too. And oftentimes when I'm not, I was talking to my mom this week, and I said, you remember her dad was an entrepreneur, my grandfather. An entrepreneur, he started two businesses that are still in operation. He died 20 years ago. That's really good. And she said he would always come, if he came home and someone was sitting down, what are you doing? Get up. Get do something. And that was just kind of put within them, you know, do something. Just sit there. And I have some of that in me at times. Like, I'm just, what are you doing? Do something. Do something. Am I a slave to busyness? It's a good question. Or can I really trust God? And say, Lord, I can, I'm in Romans chapter 6, I've preached this before, it says we're slaves to righteousness, we're slaves to God. So I'm either a slave to him or I'm a slave to something else. And that can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. You can be, if you want to talk about silence and solitude, you can be a slave to noise. Sometimes I get in the car and I instinctively turn on the radio. Why am I doing it? Why do I need noise on? I don't know. It's a good question. I could talk about that some in a little bit more, you know. Others' expectations. We're slave to titles. And I don't know. You ask those questions, and then you look and you say, hey, God commanded us to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy as a way to rest him, as a way to worship him, as a way to honor him. Am I really living that way? It's also a means of trust. One thing that they would do in those times is they would obviously take the Sabbath day and keep it holy, but every 7 years, and you may already know this, but they would till the land, and every 7 years they would let the land rest and live off what had been done and kind of let the land breathe. And that's a real means of trust as well, because especially for someone like, we got to get this done, when I can leave my land for a year and say, Lord, I'm going to honor your principles and trust that you are our provision, you're my provider. Not my work ethic all the time. It's you. It's you. 7 days a week, the same thing. Is that making sense? It's a means of trust. Lord, I can trust you that, you know, one thing for me as a man, and I think any man has this, you have the, and it's good, it's godly. And there's a flip of this too. There's also a flip of, if you overwork or underwork, I think both of those are detrimental to biblical kingdom lifestyle. I'm not talking underwork, I'm talking overwork today. And that applies to us in different ways and in different areas. But we have to have a means where we're trusting we're trusting the Lord. I had a man I used to work for, and he was a Scottish, and I won't give you his name. This was out in Virginia. He's a good man, but his pride, he was my boss. And he was my boss when I had a position that it wasn't good for him to be my boss, because he set expectations that weren't good. And his pride is what he would stick his chest out about, is I haven't taken a day off in 7 years. I don't take vacations. I said, sure. Well, my brother died. I flew back to Scotland for a day and came back. And that was his thing. And he started there at the end. He really started to some real issue. I mean, you could be, let's say it's this church, I could be in the back. He could walk through that front door and I could feel him come in the room because of all the restlessness, all the tension, all the stress and anxiety he would carry with him. It was so strong, that restless spirit that he carried. You could feel it walk in the room. And people were worried about him. They said, we're worried about his health. We're worried about all these different things. I'm going to keep going. And, you know, he ended up getting fired, in large part because he drove himself crazy. Did not honor, I don't believe he was a Christian man, but he did not honor biblical principles. There are biblical principles you can honor and know whether you know God or not. As Christians, we should especially do it. And he did not honor the principle, and he went crazy. And it's just it's a tale. And I'm going to give you one more passage, and I'm going to share with you for just a minute. In Galatians 5:17, as a discipline, you know this, you don't have to turn there, but just listen. This is in the Amplified Version. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other. And I get an amen to that. Yeah. Continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things that you want to do. And you know, it's easy sometimes, I guess the easiest spiritual discipline you can talk about bringing your flesh under submission to your spirit, is fasting. That's just easy to talk about. I've never considered Sabbath in that way before, because sometimes for us it's hard to detox or to turn off. And we can put solitude in that as well. Sometimes we can't even be quiet. We can't have a moment of 10 minutes with just us and God without checking my phone or turning on something, talking to somebody, or, you know, everything in the world going on. Those are things that plague us sometimes as believers, especially in a fast-paced world that we live in. And so it's a spiritual discipline, because I've never thought about it this way before. But Sabbath or silence, in Ecclesiastes it says there's a, who's the old group that's saying there's a time for every purpose under heaven in the 70s? But it says there's a time for silence and there's a time to speak. I'm not called to be silent forever, but I'm also not called to blab away forever either. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And we have to understand the graces and the rhythms that God has given us in our life and seasons in our life. And so, for me, and kind of my, what I want to share with you, is I have violated this principle of the Sabbath in the past 5.5 years. Almost 6 years. I really violated it. And some of it was out of necessity. And I do want to say this. Sometimes there's seasons in your life, and some of you may be in them watching, or you may have already passed it, where you have to exert a lot initially. But you can't do that for the rest of your life. And I know that for me and my wife, we came here in July 2015. I remember when, I'll just speak honestly with you for a minute. I remember when our old superintendent at the time, Bob Wise, called me. He's in Virginia. He said, there's three churches. One of them, I won't tell you where they are. One of them was 6 figures in debt. I said, I won't touch that, but 10-foot pole. and there's two others. And he said, pocket duck. And I just get, walk with the word. You get the witness of the Spirit sometimes. I knew that was right. I knew it was right. And what I didn't realize is, though, when I came, I had, these things would be between me and my wife and a few others, but it was an unbelievable amount of work and spiritual effort and discipline to the likes that I wasn't really prepared for at all. And And that's fine. That's good. That's not a complaint. I'm actually happy about that. But it took a whole lot out of me. And you guys know I used to work in Norwich. Some of you know. I would commute back and forth. And then I've been working from home for the past 4.5 years. But I don't get a Sabbath. And I haven't had the chance to have one. And I, plug along like I'm okay and everything is good. And I remember my sister-in-law came to visit a few months ago. She said, "You work a lot." Oh, well, maybe I do. I don't know. The other job, pastoring, it's not better or worse. It's different. And there's a spiritual weight that happens and a spiritual battling that happens every single day. My wife told me late, she said, "Every time we talk, you just start talking about church." And I was like, "I don't know that because I'm always carrying it." And it's just when I went home for Thanksgiving on vacation, I still have to work my other job some. Not every day, but I still have to punch in and do stuff. And just had to deal with something up here when I was down there. So I've never really had a chance to take a Sabbath. And I am very conservative by nature. And when I say that, I don't make moves with things until God makes me. God makes me do stuff. And I know how He works in my life. And so He's made the last 2 months really bad for me, with my other job especially. And I want to say this too, even last year of 2020, there's a lot, and it's business leaders, churches and pastors, there's just a lot. And so my job was getting to the place where I said, something's wrong. I was violating biblical principles. Sleep issues, my heart, and I got a book by a guy, Wayne Cordero, who talks about this. I was like, oh, I can recognize all these symptoms. I'm too young for this. And if I keep doing this, what I'm doing, this doesn't work. God, this isn't your pattern. This isn't your design. I know it's not. I was in here a couple weeks ago, and I had to do something. It was so small. I won't tell you what it is. Only my wife knows. I was in my office, and I called her. I said, "You have to do this, because I literally can't." Smallest little thing. It was literally a straw that breaks the camel's back. It was so small that if I took it, it was just like, oh, it's too much. I would have never understood that 5 years ago. I would have, you're ridiculous. I can't explain it, but it was just too much because I'm violating biblical principles. I'm not taking a Sabbath. My Sabbath, per se, has always been Sunday night, starting my workday at 7:30 here. I'm too tired to do anything, but then I have to work the next day. And so the cycle and the cycle and the cycle, it wasn't healthy, And I was like, something has to change. And so I talked to my board. I wrote a proposal. I talked to my board a few weeks ago, and we had some things to iron out. And so I talked to them again this week, and I am going to be going full-time here as a pastor here, effective April, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. I'll be full-time here. And we have the one thing we've done in my almost 6 years here is our financial situation here is, believe it or not, it's gotten to the point where that's a possibility. And we were given a very generous gift earlier in the year, and we've been very frugal and wise stewards, and so that's there for me to do that. Great. And that's good. And so, thank you. Great. So I'm going to be doing that, and I'm also going to be, one thing they had for me as well, and everyone in her church needs to hear, is I was going to ask for, I said, if they don't give me full time, I have to do something, so I'm going to ask for a month off. And they gave me full time, and they said, we need you to take a month off. So I'm taking a month off in June, July. We don't know the dates yet, but I've already talked to some of you about stepping in some areas. I'll talk to some other ones about that as well. And that's a good thing. And I want to say this too. I am not weary and tired of shepherding this church. I love it. It's what God's called me to do. But to do it well, if I'm going to be a good shepherd, and I'll tell you this too, I was at the point just a few weeks ago, I was like, God, if I keep running this pace, I'm no good here anymore. You need to bring someone else because I'm not good for this. I can't do it. If I'm going to be a good shepherd, I have to refuel and recharge to some degree. There's actually some chemical stuff. Aaron, you probably know what it is, but there's some chemical things I was reading about that actually happens when you just violate God's principles for rest. Mm-hmm. And that was happening to me. I didn't know it. And until it's not too late, I was like, wow, I have to get some red alarms flashing inside of me. But I want to say this, and I mean this, and I wouldn't have said this some time ago, but I mean it now. And, you know, 2020 happens, and you know, our Sunday morning meetings are smaller. Our most of our meetings are, people are at home, people are there, but I'm aware of what our whole church is and where everyone is and what's going on. And I'm a sports guy, so I always give sports analogies. If I look at this church, I said, this is the best team we've had since I've been here. And I say this, I believe what I'm going to mean what I'm going to say. I believe that quality-wise, all of you here at home, I mean this or I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. I mean it. Quality-wise, I believe we're some of the best quality. I think we're upper echelon in quality for the state of Connecticut and Rhode Island because we have 50-50. We're out on the border as far as who we are as a people. I really mean that, and I say that to compliment you, and I say that to honor you, and I say that to say that I'm more excited about the future of this church and all the ministries here. I already have some things that God has put in my heart that I just didn't have the time to do. I just didn't have the time for it. I didn't have the mental space to even handle it. And, you know, I'm more excited today than I've ever been about the impact this church can have in this community here in Connecticut, Rhode Island. And frankly, that has to do with you know, God is here. And God's here because you guys are here too, and you're awesome, and you carry such an anointing with you. You know, I think we could take people from our church and send them to other places to bless other places, because I think the quality is so good, and I mean that. I say that encouragingly. And so I have more excitement and more expectation than I ever have, and I want to be a part of that. So to do that, I am going to and taking a month off is probably going to be one of the best things that's happened to this church, because it's going to make other people step up in areas which they have full capability of doing. And it's a good thing. So, and it's only 4 weeks. It's not a long time. And it's good. And I want to say this too. Some pastors are, I shouldn't say that. Some people don't like to say, I can't get away because it's my church. This isn't my church. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It was here before I got here, and it'll be here after we're all gone.
That's right.
Because He's sovereign over it. I have my place that God's put me in here, but He's the guy, and He's the one in charge. I don't want to call Him guy. That's irreverent. He's the one in charge. And so if a church can't go on without a pastor for 4 weeks, then there's some real idolatry. And we don't have that here, you know. You don't have to have me here for 4 weeks to go. You don't. And I'll be a lot more beneficial to this. And my wife, too, by the way. It's not just me. It's my wife as well. And so I will have more information on that, you know, here in the next few weeks. I've got to get through my next couple times of work. But I'm excited. I'll have more availability for you guys. I'll have more availability for some of you at home. Because that's the thing, too, with COVID, you've got in person, you've got home people. And it's just, it adds a layer, even if it's small, it adds a layer of more availability. And, you know, I want to say, let me just add this, too. I'm just kind of going off the cuff. And someone talked to me last week about a ministry idea they had. And I always go back to Banning, I don't know his last name, he's the guy who started Jesus Culture. But he was planting a church, and someone started going and said, well, what do you guys do for the homeless here? He said, I don't know. He said, what do you do for the homeless? And the whole point of that was the church. We're the church.
Amen.
And so if there's any And I'm saying this because someone approached me last week about something. Any ministry idea, something God's put in your heart. It's a great piece of wisdom someone gave me one time. He said, if you ever go into a church and you say, they don't have that there, a lot of people get upset. They don't do that. I don't do that. I got to find somewhere that does that because we have a consumer mindset. He said, if you go somewhere and you say, they don't have that, maybe it's because you're the one that's supposed to do that. And I'll say that to you here, those at home, and I'm not saying you guys aren't doing that already. But I'm saying, you know, the fields are ripe for harvest. And I look into our community, I look into the people. As I've said this before, there's so many people, especially after COVID's come, that are really looking for something. They're really looking for Jesus. They've tried this, they've tried that, and they don't know where to go. And they need Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus says, hey, I put you guys here. And wherever you are, in Stonington, Westerly, Mystic, Pawcatuck, Charleston, Niantic, wherever you are, wherever all of our places our church encompasses. And I have a lot of excitement. I believe people can come to Jesus. I have some evangelistically, prayer-wise, all these different things just rattling through my head. And we have a great team here of people, of men and women who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're committed to each other. And I think the future of New Song is and I'm not just saying that because I'm in a good mood because I'm going full time. I actually really mean it. And I want you, it's important that you hear that. It's important that you hear that because I do have some fatigue from just going the way I have. But I'm excited for myself, one, I'm excited for this church because I feel like even despite everything with COVID that's happened, and we've taken our punches too, like most places have, we're smaller and stronger. It's a strong group, and I'm excited about the future here. And so I want to say that to you and hear it. So I violated the Sabbath, and I'm preaching on it this morning because it went along with what I was going to share with you in a way, my announcement. I violate it, but the next time I speak on it, I'll speak from experience more, and I'll tell you, because I have all these principles we can do on the Sabbath and things like that. There's these Sabbath principles of rest and healing and enjoying God, enjoying His creation, all these things. I was like, yeah, I haven't lived for these. And I haven't lived them. I've lived silence and solitude. I can do that, but I don't know if I'm going to go through with it. I'm just not going to keep belaboring it. But Sabbath is something I haven't really gone through. And we're going to go through it. And I want to say this too, as a church, as a people of God, you know, even if we add more things that we do, it's still important. You know, we're not going to do this here, but I do know of a very prominent ministry in North Carolina, and we're not going to do this here, but they're big. They take every July off as a Sabbath. A whole month they take off. And he said, every time we come back, he said, everyone's in charge. And he said, we just take it up a level in August because everyone's honored a biblical principle of rest, Selah, pause, worship, reflect on what God has done, on the good things He's given us, allow Him to recharge us and refill our batteries. One thing I'm going to do is take a Bible course. I haven't done that in 10 years. And I'm a Bible nerd, and I've lost some of that. Those things fill me up. I love that. Whatever you can do to read, just to get that within you. Maybe you're not in a place in your life right now where that's very relevant to you. Maybe you already do that, and I'm aware of some of you may already do it. But it's what I'm doing, and as a church, it's just a principle that I'm going to be very cognizant of for the rest of my life. If I violate this, it's not going to be very healthy for me or the people that God's called me to serve. And so I'm not going to go into silence. I'm just going to end with that. But God is good. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And I am going to start doing that here very soon. And I don't know what day my Sabbath. I was talking to my wife last night. We don't know what day we're going to kind of take and work with. But I'll let you know. And I'm going to communicate with everyone more. Like I said, I'll be more available with office hours, be more available even just to connect with people, coffee, one-on-ones, things that I would do more of if I had the time. You know, there's a couple individuals, you know, one really in my radar for just one-on-one discipleship, you know, that I've been wanting to do for 2 years. I just don't have the, I haven't had the capacity to do it. So, and some of us too will be really stepping up into some areas, because that's also, last thing I'm going to say, I apologize, last thing I'm going to say, that's also a characteristic of this church. I want to say that too, is I've seen, especially lately, you know, I look at Wilbur with the healing rooms, you know, something he's already had in him, and, you know, he stepped up into that. Wilbur, you stepped up. I know you watch on Sunday mornings at your home, but you stepped up so strongly into that. You know, you too, Kevin, with that. You really, really, really have. And I look at our worship team up there. And, you know, I could go through the list. Each and every one of you, to be frank with you, people just step up and they grow. When I was in Bible school, we had a saying where everyone who comes through here learns an instrument, because you had so much worship there. Even me, I learned to do hand percussion, which is the simplest instrument. But it just kind of produces that in you. And so I would just say to, you know, each and every one of you, we all have something to give. You know, I'll have some things in the future that are ringing in my heart evangelistically and things like that. But I'm excited to see this church continue to grow and wait. When I say wait, you weigh the saints, not count them, and wait, and how our walks with the Lord. And I'm really ready to see, and Maria, you said this to me, I know Alyssa said a few weeks ago, I actually had a dream last night about it, but I'm ready to see people who don't know Jesus yet come to Jesus.
Amen.
And take positions of leadership and see them walk in their destinies and their callings. And they may not know Jesus today, and Jesus is saying, hey, you guys are here. You're here, whether you're at home, however you are, and you guys have a portion to play in seeing the kingdom of God continue to grow in this area that he's placed us in. So I say amen, and I say selah to that. So Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you.